an amazing world we live in, and it's amazing that human beings would organize themselves in the way they have. And we have these 192 nation states around the world. Something to be thankful for, that we live in peace and that they all come together in this amazing organization called the United Nations. So today is United Nations Sunday. We turn our thoughts towards one of the most important and hopeful developments, I think, in all of human history, the founding and the ongoing work of the United Nations. Unitarian Universalist congregations around the world are encouraged to hold a Sunday service at this time of year, commemorating the founding of the UN on October 24th, 1945. When I attended the church in St. Catharines, Dr. James Gibson, thank you, was a member of our congregation. He subsequently died, but he was there as a Canadian delegate to the founding of the United Nations. And I'll never forget what a great man he was. You'd think that the celebration of an established international body with real power in the world and real moral authority, working to alleviate human suffering and preventing wars between nations, would be a cause for universal celebration. We should be celebrating. We should be celebrating the work done by thousands of people to establish this organization and the hundreds of thousands of people who are working every day to do the work of the United Nations. And yet, the topic of the United Nations is often met with indifference or skepticism or criticism or even contempt. The title for this morning's sermon was really meant to be a rhetorical question. Should we celebrate the UN in our worship services? But as I've just described, we become so jaded, so influenced by the critics and the pessimists, that I struggled to find a way to make this annual service a highlight of the year, and it should be that. I don't know how many of you came out this morning just because it is United Nations Day, and important because that's an important day on your personal calendar. And I'll exclude Valerie and Colin and Jane from that, because I'm sure it is an important day on your calendar, I know that. The aspirations of the United Nations are being put into action every day, and it's difficult to overstate the importance of the UN in tackling global problems, the global problems of humanity. But here's a few statistics. The UN provides food for 90 million people in 73 countries. It vaccinates 58% of the world's children. It saved 2.5 million lives a year doing this. It assists the over 65 million refugees, people fleeing war and famine and persecution, the highest number of refugees since the Second World War. The United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change is the mechanism behind the International Climate Meeting and the culmination that culminated in the climate agreement in Paris. The UN keeps peace with over 100,000 peacekeepers in 16 operations on four continents. It fights poverty, helping 370 million rural people achieve better lives, and has done so over the last 30 years. It protects and promotes human rights on site, and through some 80 treaties and declarations, it mobilizes $12.4 billion in U.S. dollars in humanitarian aid to help people affected by emergencies. It advances democracies, assisting some 30 countries a year with their elections, promoting material wealth, saving the lives of 30 million women a year. The challenge to find a way to celebrate the aspirations of the UN is nothing new. The idea of an annual United Nations Day was the brainchild of a Unitarian, Frank B. Frederick. And he outlined it in an article that he wrote in 1979 called, they called it United Nations Day. He began working on a day to celebrate the covenant of peace among nations back in 1936, 9 years before the United Nations was founded. His hope was that if we really celebrated and had a public event around the world in every city and every town with appropriate ceremony and commitment among all nations to forgo war between nations, that the sheer power of that mass commitment would ensure compliance. Today, that seems hopelessly naive. As we see manipulative leaders capable of convincing large segments of the population to do things against their own self-interest through appeals to combinations of emotion, selfishness, and fear of the other. And yet, we dare not give up hope. It's been said that if you don't have hope, you're part of the problem. Our faith tradition has a close affinity with the goals of the organizing and the organizing principles of the UN. Unitarian Universalists and Unitarian Canadians were instrumental in the founding of the United Nations and in the drafting of its foundational documents. There is a maritime connection here. One of the Unitarian UU pioneers was John Peters Humphrey, born in 1905 in Hampton, New Brunswick. He became a lawyer, he taught at McGill, and in 1946 he joined the fledgling United Nations Human Rights Division. In December 1948, as its principal author, Humphreys presented the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. It's been called the International Magna Carta for all mankind. That was the illustrious beginning of Canada's deep relationship with the United Nations. It's lasted decades, and it's given Canada a well-earned reputation for effective diplomacy and commitment to international cooperation. The commitments of Unitarian Universalists to the hope of the UN is best represented through our support of the Universalist Unitarian United Nations Office, the UUUNO. Our faith tradition maintains an office and staff at the United Nations lobbying for our principles. The founding of the UUUNO can be traced back to April of 1962. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations and a Unitarian, Adlai Stevenson, wrote the UUA President, Dana Greeley at the time, suggesting that each UU congregation nominate an envoy to the UUUNO. Adlai Stevenson said, and these words are true today, "Let me recommend to you the appointment of an envoy to all UU churches to promote better knowledge and understanding of the United Nations. In this disastrous and shrinking world, it's no longer possible, if it ever was, for local communities to be more secure than the surrounding world. Our ultimate security, therefore, lies in making the world more and more into a community. And if you have the opportunity to share in the answer and thus help us to build a peaceful world." Here ends the quote. So today, the UUUNO encourages all UU congregations to select an envoy who will receive information on the activities of the UUUNO and the United Nations in general. It's part of the liaison between congregations and that office. For years, Valerie Chapman, with real support from Colin, has been our UUUNO envoy. And she did that for years before she joined this congregation when she was in Vermont. Under Valerie's leadership, the Unitarian Universalist Church of Halifax received the prestigious Blue Ribbon Award from the UUUNO office every year, until recently. Valerie has had to step away from that job, and Jane will shortly be talking about the Blue Ribbon Award, and I encourage you to all listen carefully. I have a picture that was taken 2 years ago, I think, on this date, when Valerie officially passed the torch to Jane. So, the UUUNO also recognized the position of a youth envoy for a person of high school age, and they encourage congregations to form multi-generational envoy teams as a way to keep the entire congregation involved and as a way to bridge the generational gap. To have a multi-generational team from our congregation in touch with the UUUNO office and providing information to our members and to our social responsibility team would be ideal. So as I said, Jane Wilson has accepted the role of our UUUNO youth envoy. I invite her now to talk about the importance of the United Nations.
I'm a Congregation's Youth Envoy to the UU United Nations Office. This means I help keep up to date on what the Unitarian Universalist denomination is accomplishing in regard to different UN projects around the world. I'm learning about this year's theme, which is Arm and Arm, Interfaith Action to Disarm Our Planet. I have participated in some conference calls with the UU-UNO office, and I'm learning about ways we can help to bring about positive change. Sometime in the next few years, I hope to attend the Intergenerational Spring Conference at the UU-UNO Gathering in New York. The UN has many, many projects throughout the world that help make life better for people in lots of different ways. Here are three projects the UN is currently working on for youth. Number one, as you know, more than 1 million Rohingya people are being forced to leave their homes and villages in Burma or Myanmar. Many of them are crossing into Bangladesh as refugees. The UN has called the Rohingya, who are Muslim, the most friendless people in the world, and is trying to help them. Myanmar is a mostly Buddhist country, and the government there considers the Rohingya to be immigrants and not real citizens. But the people who are leaving say they have lived in Burma for many years as an ethnic minority. They're not even from Bangladesh. They do not have any protection and are being persecuted and having to walk to some unknown place where they have no connections or family. UNICEF recently started a campaign to vaccinate Rohingya refugee children, helping them to fight diseases such as polio and cholera. About 150,000 children between birth and age 14 have been vaccinated so far. This program has also established learning centers in Bangladesh. About 15,000 of Rohingya children are now enrolled in 1,300 of these learning centers, with plans to open more centers in the coming months. Number two, the UN has teamed up with partners to create the Maternal and Newborn Health Innovations Project, which hopes to boost the quality of life for mothers and their infants in Kenya. Number three, where there has been fighting in Ukraine, the UN delivered more than 60 tons of supplies to refugees. These included warm clothing, hygiene products, clean water, and many more. According to Giovanna Barbarius, UNICEF representative in Ukraine, children living in or displaced from conflict-affected areas continue to bear the brunt of the conflict. While Valerie Chapman was in the UNO envoy role for our church, our congregation obtained blue ribbon status many different years with the organization. The last few years we have not achieved this, and I really hope we can make it happen consistently once again. The UN is a great supporter of worldwide peace, health, safety, education, and environmental protection, and the UU-UNO is our congregation's way of participating. I think it's very important for us to try, as a congregation, to do this. For a UU congregation to obtain blue ribbon status, we need to do the following four things. I know Reverend Norm supports these efforts, and I hope the board and the congregation do as well. Here are the four things a congregation must do. One is to hold an annual UN Sunday service, such as today. Number two is to have 15 members or 5% of your congregation become individual UU-UNO supporters. The annual contribution rate for these supporters is $16, or $30 for retired or student supporters. Number three is to give the UU-UNO an annual budget line or collection plate. And number four is to have an envoy, youth envoy, or envoy team like me. I hope that you will agree with me that these are very achievable goals for our congregation. The UN is so important right now when many leaders are pushing to isolate their countries and ignore the rest of the world. I support the principles of the UU-UNO, which give us hope for the future. Thank you.